The second case for oral argument this morning is the State of South Dakota versus Wayne R. Stevens. For the appellant, State of South Dakota, is Ms. Katie Hansen, an Assistant Attorney General for Pierre. And for the appellee, Mr. Stevens, is Ms. Brady Reed. Is that correct? Brandy Reed. Okay. Well, I got the last name right and blew the first one, I guess. It's different. Anyway, welcome. You're from Rapid City. So, Ms. Hansen, you have 20 minutes.
May it please the court, counsel. As said before, my name is Katie Hansen. I'm an assistant attorney general, and I'm representing the state in this matter. The state is appealing, and we are the appellant. The defendant is the appellee in this matter.
That may be a first.
The state is appealing the trial court's decision to grant the defendant's motion to suppress. Some of the facts surrounding this case are as follows. Between the times of July 28, 2004 to January 14, 2005, Deputy Craig Wood was an investigator with the Pennington County Sheriff's Office, and he was also on special assignment with the Unified Narcotics Enforcement Team. On July 28, 2004, there was a debriefing held, and the debriefing was about a possible kidnapping or missing person case. Troy Klug was the person that was missing. Officer or Deputy Wood attended this debriefing, and at this debriefing, he learned that Tori Teagan, Cynthia Kendall, and Troy Klug were all associated through their use and sale of methamphetamine. And he also learned information about the defendant and that the defendant was involved in an altercation with Troy Klug 2 weeks prior to Klug's disappearance. He brought him in for an interview on July 28th, 2004, and at this interview, he found out that defendant had been involved in an altercation with the missing person, and it was over $300, which is commonly known as the amount, the street amount for an 8-ball of methamphetamine. After that interview on January 14th, 2005, 5.5 months later, Deputy Wood decided to do a trash pull on the defendant's trash. He found out that the defendant's trash was scheduled to be picked up.
Is there anything in the record of why the delay? Why the 5 months?
I didn't see anything in the record that would say why they delayed, but I did see in the record that Deputy Wood testified at the motion hearing that it was an ongoing investigation for Troy Klug, investigation for the possible disappearance of Troy Klug, and it was drug-related just because of Troy Klug's known association with other meth salesmen or meth users, and that altercation with Troy Klug and the defendant was drug-related. But I don't believe there's anything that specifically says why they waited. But they found out that the trash was going to be picked up that day. The trash was on the curb in the receptacle, away from the house, waiting to be picked up by the Rapid City trash employee. Deputy Wood got a hold of the trash employee and asked him to clean out his hopper, go pick up the trash, and meet him a couple blocks away from the residence with the garbage. And on that day, the trash employee, in fact, did clean out his hopper, went and picked up the trash, and drove it around the block and gave it to the officers. The officers went and looked through it, and they found a pen body containing a white substance. And after testing that white substance, they found it to be methamphetamine. And upon that information from the trash pull and the information at the debriefing, they obtained a search warrant, searched the defendant's house, and found more methamphetamine and also drug paraphernalia.
So let's just get the legal foundation straight here.
Sure.
When the officer went and had that trash pull, he had no probable cause.
I don't believe he had probable cause, but I don't think that probable cause is necessary.
All right. Okay, but you're conceding he didn't have any probable cause.
I agree that he didn't have probable cause.
And he certainly didn't have any articulable suspicion that was fresh. I mean, he might have had an articulable suspicion maybe 5 months earlier, but after 5 months, whatever he had to be stale.
Again, like I said, I don't believe they need it, but I think you can conclude that he would have had reasonable suspicion just for the fact of it was an ongoing investigation, that there was still a missing person or a kidnapped person, and it was possibly a drug-related situation. So until that investigation ended, I think that information was still relevant or gave the officer reasonable suspicion. But I don't think that's even an issue because I don't think...
So reasonable suspicion would... An officer may find out information and hold that information for 5 months and still say it's fresh and you can still use it as reasonable suspicion? Just by saying it's an ongoing investigation, he would have an indefinite reasonable suspicion?
I don't think indefinite, but I think while the investigation was going on, yes. But I don't think there needed to be any reasonable suspicion whatsoever just because by the very nature of that it was garbage.
Had the missing person been found at that point?
No, he hadn't. It was still an investigation. They're still looking for this missing person, investigating what happened to this person. I think, first of all, that the United States Supreme Court has found that there's no expectation of privacy in garbage. I think in California versus Greenwood, that court addressed this issue and did find that there is no reasonable expectation of privacy in garbage for the very fact that you are knowingly exposing your garbage to the public in a place where anybody can get into it. Anybody is allowed to go through it and look through it. So by the very nature of what you've done with your garbage, you're saying you don't have an, there is no reasonable expectation of privacy in your garbage. And I think this court also addressed the issue of expectation of privacy in garbage in State v. Schwartz 3 years ago. And I think they found the same as the United States Supreme Court did in Greenwood, that there is no reasonable expectation of privacy in garbage.
In Schwartz, the facts were just a little bit different, though, because there was at least some reasonable suspicion because there had been a tip by someone that the Schwartzes were involved in a drug trafficking, and the officer went out there immediately and got the trash. This isn't a 5 month delay case.
No, I don't think the facts are exactly the same. But again, I don't think that's what the court used to decide that there's no expectation of privacy in garbage. I think they were just pointing out some of the facts that surrounded it. I think it just goes to show that police officers aren't out there just randomly pulling people's garbage. I mean, just deciding to look in a phone book and say, we're going to check this person's garbage. I think they're just kind of...
But that's what you're arguing, isn't it? I mean, you're arguing right now that because there's no expectation of privacy, a policeman could interdict an entire neighborhood and say, well, let's just go down Main Street and we'll just find out what's going on. By your argument, that's what they could do today.
Right. That is leaving the door open for that. But I don't think that's the set of facts that we've had in past cases or the facts that we have today. I think until you have that kind of facts or you start seeing those kinds of cases where police officers are behaving that way, where they are just randomly checking, then when those sorts of cases starts coming up, then I think you could certainly revisit the issue and decide whether society is willing to accept an expectation of privacy as reasonable. But I think as the facts have happened in this case and as they've happened in the past, you found there's no expectation of privacy in garbage because people were not willing to accept an expectation of privacy as reasonable. And I think it is possible because law enforcement hasn't been doing that. And maybe in the future it's something to revisit. But at this time, I believe there is no expectation of privacy in garbage. So
you know, does it? What I found wrong in your logic is that if the individual himself, if Stevens had packed this garbage up into the trunk of his car and he was driving it to the dump, you concede, don't you, that the police would have no right to stop him and search his trunk and take out the garbage and do a search?
I agree with that, but I believe you have an expectation in your vehicle. And by putting it in your trunk, you're saying, I still want to keep my expectation of privacy
right
in that garbage.
So what I'm saying is the city garbage people are the agent of that individual, and he's required to do that. He's required to put it on the curb for the city dumpster people to come by and pick it up. And they are his agent. They're not the agent for the police. So I say he still has an expectation of privacy because he selected his agent to haul it to the dump. So when the police basically confiscate the garbage truck and command him to sanitize it and then take out the garbage, they're really violating his right to take the garbage to the dump or to have it taken to the dump as he's required to do under the law.
I disagree that the garbage man is an agent of the homeowner. I think the garbage man...
He's emptying, he's dumping the garbage for the homeowner, isn't he?
Right, but after that garbage is taken, he's no longer responsible for how that garbage gets to the dump. I mean, you'd be saying that homeowner is responsible for what happens in the course of that garbage getting to the dump, and I don't think that's the case.
But it is, but he is responsible to get it to the garbage man?
He's responsible if he wants someone else to take it to the dump. He is responsible for putting it in that garbage can for the garbage man. I think there's probably other options that he could take the garbage to the dump himself. But as a matter of convenience, he has chosen to get rid of his garbage this way.
If we go along with your theory of basically no expectation of privacy or abandonment or whatever you want to call it, does that allow private investigators or just plain old nosy neighbors to go rummaging through their neighbor's garbage?
Yes, and I think the United States Supreme Court even talked about that in Greenwood, because they talked about how homeless people go through people's garbage. They talked about how tabloids go through people's garbage. And I've seen in college people leave furniture on curbs and people take it because they know people don't want it anymore. I think by the nature of what you're doing with the garbage, you are saying to the public, you don't want that anymore. You don't need it anymore. And you're telling the city that you are ready for them to take it and dispose of it how they want, how they dispose of it.
Now, in Schwartz, there was the majority of this court laid out a two-part test. Did the trial court use that?
The trial court, I believe, used the reasoning of two out-of-state cases. He used the reasoning from Litchfield versus State of Indiana and State versus a blue and color Chevrolet. And in those two cases, those courts found that the state constitution gave their citizens more protection than the federal constitution. And in those cases, they did find that there had to be some reasonable or articulable suspicion in those two cases. But I think the trial court also relied on the fact that there were city ordinances in place as giving the homeowner a limited expectation of privacy, which I think this court has already decided this issue on those facts, and I think the United States Supreme Court has decided the issue on those facts. There are city ordinances in State v. Schwartz, and this court still decided to use the same test that the United States Supreme Court used in Greenwood.
I think in Schwartz, the attorney did not offer the city ordinances, so we didn't get to consider them in that case.
I don't think that the city ordinances have anything to do in this case, because I don't think that the defendant relied on those as giving him an expectation of privacy. We don't even know that he knew that these ordinances were in effect, and we don't know that he thought because he was following these ordinances that he was receiving an expectation of privacy in his garbage.
Is it against the law in Rapid City for anyone to go into someone else's trash that's sitting on the curb?
I don't believe so. I don't think there's any law that prohibits other people from going into other people's trash. I don't think there's any South Dakota law that prohibits anyone from going in anybody else's trash, too. I think at any point someone can go in your garbage and look through it, and that's okay, because by the nature of where you've put it, you have not manifested that you have an expectation of privacy in that garbage anymore. You've abandoned it on the side of the road for someone else to take. You are actually saying, I want a third party to take this.
If that's the case, why don't we just take it out on the curb and just dump it in the open? Instead, we tie it up in bags, and sometimes we knot the bags. Clearly, we don't want the whole world going through our garbage.
I think that's more goes towards the ease in getting rid of the garbage and also for sanitation reasons. I think it's easier to take two bags of tied garbage and throw that into a hopper than it is to take two receptacles full of loose garbage. Because
why do we use opaque bags then instead of transparent bags that everybody can see and to make it easy for them to snoop into our garbage?
I don't know why they choose to use the opaque bags. I don't think that
maybe because they have an expectation of privacy.
I disagree. I don't think people are putting their garbage in these bags because they think they have an expectation of privacy. I think they're doing it so that it's easier to put it in the receptacle. I don't think logically, if this person had such an expectation of privacy in their garbage, they would want to know how it's disposed of. I don't see a lot of people riding around with the garbage man making sure it's getting to where it's supposed to be, because they know once they leave it in their trash can, it's not theirs anymore and it's not theirs to worry about.
That's not one of your jobs as Assistant Attorney General, is it?
No, they didn't give me that job.
Where did the Indiana and Montana courts go wrong? Those cases both came down after Schwartz, after our case in Schwartz. Where did they go wrong in your view?
I think they went wrong, and I'm not saying they went wrong. They just found more protection in their state constitution, which I think this case has, or our state has already found that we are following the reasoning of California v. Greenwood. I think
since they came down after Schwartz, why shouldn't we relook at that?
Because I don't think anything has changed as far as our Constitution that we would interpret our Constitution any differently than we have since that case. I think that case law is still as good today as it was when it was decided in Schwartz. And I don't think anything has changed in society so much that we would need to follow a different interpretation than we did in Schwartz. And as I said before, this court did use the same reasoning in Schwartz that the United States Supreme Court used in State v. Greenwood, and they used that same two-part test, and which is whether the defendant has exhibited an actual subjective expectation of privacy, which in this case I don't believe he has, because for the simple fact that his garbage was in the receptacle, it was on the curb away from the house, it was ready to be conveyed to a third person, and it actually was conveyed to a third person, and that the garbage person actually took it. And I don't know of any courts that have decided that any of those actions would manifest an expectation of privacy in your garbage. And then the second part is whether society is willing to honor this expectation as reasonable. And as this court found in California versus Greenwood, they don't think society is willing to accept an expectation of privacy in garbage as reasonable, just for the simple fact that a person has no legitimate expectation of privacy in information he voluntarily turns over to a third party. When someone puts something on the garbage, or puts something in the garbage, they know that it's susceptible to dogs going through their garbage. They know it's susceptible to neighbors going through the garbage.
But they're also responsible for that under the ordinance, are they not?
They are responsible for that, but I mean that's a sanitation issue, and I think that's just for the city.
But under your theory, it's not theirs anymore.
That's true as far as an expectation of privacy goes. Yes.
So there's a distinction.
Mm-hmm.
But consider this for a moment. When we put our garbage on the curb in a black bag that is tied, we expect that garbage person, you know, to pick it up in a reasonable manner and deposit it in the dump and no place else. We don't expect him in any way to run around, to go down a block and stop and then go through the garbage. And we have an expectation of privacy that it'll be deposited in the dump where it belongs and where they're supposed to deliver it under contract.
The fact is, though, when you put that garbage in the garbage, and the garbage man takes it, there is nothing that stops that garbage man from taking that garbage home himself and going through it. He could take that garbage home and keep all of it.
You think the city permits that?
I haven't seen any ordinances that doesn't permit that. We don't know what he's doing.
I haven't either, but I haven't been looking real hard.
I'm just saying there's nothing that prevents a garbage man from looking through it, and there's no legislation that prevents anyone from going through your garbage. There's no statute that I can find that makes it illegal for someone to go through your garbage and filter out things, take things out of your garbage. And I think that goes to show that society is not willing to accept an expectation of privacy in garbage as reasonable.
I suspect if that garbage man went down a block and went through your garbage and you found out about it, you would probably get him fired within 1 week.
I don't think I would, but...
Huh? Well, your performance is surprising them, because I think you would based on your performance.
Again, the state's argument would be that there is no expectation in garbage, so there was no reasonable suspicion necessary in order to look through that garbage. But, however, there were facts surrounding the situation where it wasn't just a random trash pull. It wasn't just someone they picked out of a phone book and decided to go looking through their trash.
Thank you, Ms. Hanson. Ms. Reed, you have 20 minutes.
May it please the court, counsel. On July 28, 2004, Wayne Stevens was questioned by Detective Wood and Black regarding the possible disappearance of Mr. Klug. It was determined from that interview that Mr. Stevens knew Mr. Klug. He had had a fight with him, and that was between mid to late June. After this, from all records, Wayne Stevens was no longer an interest in this case. He is questioned no further. He is no longer investigated. I asked Detective Wood at the motion hearing whether or not he had any information regarding Mr. Stevens during that 5.5 month time frame, or whether there were any investigations regarding Mr. Stevens, and Detective Wood told the judge that there were no further investigations on Mr. Stevens. On January 14th, 2005, 5.5 months later, Detective Wood goes to the house where he presumes that Mr. Stevens lives. He later determines that it is in fact Mr. Stevens' residence. At that time, he collects the garbage, which is set out for collection, and Detective Wood orders the garbage collector to clean out the hopper, take Mr. Stevens' garbage approximately 2.5 blocks down the road, and give it to Detective Wood and Black, where they take it to the evidence building in Rapid City, search it, and find a pen tube body in one bag and two pieces of mail from Mr. Stevens in a separate garbage bag. From this information, in response to this, they get a warrant and search the house and find three more jeweler's baggies with residue. We moved to suppress this evidence based on the U.S. and the South Dakota Constitution, and the trial court, Judge Trimble, granted that motion. At issue is whether Judge Trimble was right in that test. It was right in his analysis.
Did he actually reject Schwartz, do you think?
No, we actually embraced Schwartz and Greenwood both. We followed the test, the two-part test presented in both Schwartz and Greenwood, and then based on the facts in this case, and in part based on the city ordinance, which helps to show a contractual interest in the garbage, because there was a finding of interest, which was determined by the court to be reasonable, or something that society would honor as reasonable, there had to be another place to go with it. And that's where we brought in Montana and Indiana. And we asked for only the lowest standard to be applied. We didn't ask for an extensive privacy interest as the defense. We just asked for a limited privacy interest, which the trial court found. And we asked that only the lowest standard be then imposed upon law enforcement, which is reasonable an articulable suspicion.
So what would prompt at least one more member of this court to go that direction?
You want 10 seconds to think about it.
Here the state is saying that we have absolutely no expectation of privacy in garbage, and that is what Schwartz and Greenwood say. I do not believe that this court said that in Schwartz, nor the U.S. Supreme Court say that in Greenwood. They just said, this court, and the facts in Greenwood, that those facts did not meet a finding of a showing of privacy interest. I don't know what the facts are regarding a showing of privacy interest in Greenwood, because there is not any showing in that opinion. It does appear that the bags were not even in a receptacle in Greenwood.
Where does the expectation of privacy end when the garbage truck gets to the dump, or you got dump rats out there always rummaging through things and
I think that is an excellent question, and I don't know where the expectation would end. I agree that once your garbage is commingled with other people's garbage, it loses some of its anonymity. And so it's going to be more difficult for law enforcement to ascertain that that was my garbage bag and not John Doe's 5 miles across town, you know, next to my garbage bag. So I don't know if it's necessary to find that it follows you all the way to the dump. I do realize in Schwartz that's exactly what they did say, is that they were asking that a full Fourth Amendment privacy interests be applied to garbage all the way to the dump. That's not what we're asking for here. I don't know, and I think that's an excellent question.
Can I take another place here for a minute? You know, the trial judge had another alternative reason, I think, for making the ruling he did. In his conclusion of law, he says that the South Dakota Constitution requires that any search warrant be issued on an affidavit, has to be supported by an affidavit. Mm-hmm. And he said that there was no affidavit to support this search warrant here. There was only a statement. Is that right? Can you discuss that a little bit?
The way that that's worded, and I do apologize, I was the drafter of that, and Judge Trimble obviously had changed things around, but that was something that on my part is poorly worded. What the meaning of that behind that is there was nothing else besides that affidavit here. But on the other hand, our drafters here for our Constitution did hold law enforcement to a little higher standard than the U.S. in the U.S. Constitution because they said that a oral oath or affirmation is not good enough, that they want the written affidavit to support that affidavit.
In other words, this isn't written exactly the way maybe it should have been written.
Correct.
There was an affidavit.
Yes, there was the affidavit. And then the main factor in that affidavit was that trash pull.
All right, so what the judge was saying is because South Dakota Constitution requires an affidavit and the federal Constitution only requires an oath or an affirmation, the South Dakota drafters had something more in mind than the federal drafters.
That is correct, and that they couldn't later, after that hearing, come back and say, well, we actually had X, Y, and Z facts, too, that we verbally told to the judge that's not good enough.
The judge used an Indiana case that we talked about earlier with the appellant's counsel. The Indiana court did not say that there's an expectation of privacy in trash, did it? It just simply said that for police to search trash is unreasonable.
They put the reasonable suspicion first, and they don't even get to that question. I would agree in that case. The Montana case is a better analogous.
The Montana court takes the Indiana result and appends it on to their constitution.
Yes.
You know, we have for quite a long time followed the Supreme Court's analysis using the expectation of privacy test.
Yes.
Are you advocating now that we abandon that test and that we now just use a reasonableness test?
No. Actually, in Schwartz and Greenwood, this court and the U.S. Supreme Court has never reached the issue of a warrant, of a suspicionless search. And I'm just saying that you have to go someplace after you meet that test. I'm saying that it is possible to meet that test, but then you have to go someplace with it. And
if we still continue to use the expectation of privacy test, then in order for the police to need probable cause or articulable suspicion, you first have to have an expectation of privacy, don't you, in the trash?
The defendant has to demonstrate that on a suppression issue, yes.
And is there, you, I think, mentioned in your brief, the South Dakota ordinances.
Yes.
Can you point to some particular language that talks about an expectation of privacy as opposed to sanitation?
What I can give you is that within the ordinances, you have to set out your garbage in a very particular manner in order for your garbage to be collected. If not, then you don't get your garbage picked up. Uh, 8.03 8.08.030, subsection F in the Rapid City City Ordinances, family residents shall place the automated collection container. So this is not even a hand. This is the garbage collector doesn't even touch the garbage in the location suitable and readily accessible for collection by the automated collection truck on the scheduled collection day. Containers shall be removed from the curb within 24 hours after emptied. Containers shall not be stored at a location closer to the curb than the front of the residence. You have to set out your garbage in the place that you are told to if you want your garbage taken away.
So it's a container that they just back up and the machine itself or the truck itself just empties it. No one picks out the sack. No one touches it.
No, it's an arm that comes out. You actually have to have it 3 feet from anything, including the recyclable container if you're...
Do you know if that's a different scenario than was in Brookings and Schwartz?
I do not believe those facts were spelled out in Schwartz.
Now, if we've declared what the state constitution means, does a municipality by ordinance have a right to raise the bar so that maybe garbage is protected in Rapid City but not in Vermilion?
Very possible.
Back to the ordinance. What language, what specific words in this ordinance suggest a expectation of privacy rather than, as Justice Koenigkamp asked, rather than a matter of sanitation? I mean, having to have a certain receptacle and this and that, it seems to me goes to more towards sanitation type issues than suggesting that the Rapid City Common Council, when they adopted this ordinance, that they had some intent to create an expectation of privacy in garbage. So which words in this ordinance suggest that was the intent of the...
There is not a specific set of words. However, I believe that the fact that you retain a property interest in your garbage, there are several parts of the ordinance that state that if you do not properly set it out, if it becomes disabled while it's out there and it is not then properly returned, that you can be fined subject to a Class 2 misdemeanor for that garbage that's out there. And how can you be fined for something that you no longer have an interest to? If you've completely abandoned it, then whose garbage is it?
Does that go to the first part of the test, which is a subjective test?
Yes.
So that would give subjective expectation.
Yes.
Then no one else is going to go through it. It'll go right into the truck.
That is correct. If you were at an apartment complex, it would be the owner of that apartment complex that would be subject to those fines or penalties, not the individual tenants. It's a completely different situation. We're talking about an individual resident, a single family dwelling. I would hope that we have more privacy in our own personal garbage at our own personal residence than we do at, if I was a tenant at an apartment complex where my garbage gets commingled with every other tenant.
How about a McDonald's? Do they have privacy in their dumpster? I mean, businesses there's all kinds of entities in it generate garbage. That's fact of life. Is this just unique to individuals, or does it extend to businesses, or where we draw the line there?
I'm only asking that it extend to individuals. I don't know where this would go. That would be another question for the court at a different time. Here we're talking about the facts here, which is Wayne Stevens, his garbage being collected at his personal residence and gone through with the cops completely interfering with that relationship between him and the garbage collector. They had him clean out the hopper and had him completely separate out his garbage from all other garbage that was being collected that day. They commandeered the garbage collector for their interest.
I asked this council a question of other council, but Are you aware of any ordinance in Rapid City that makes it unlawful for anyone to go through someone else's trash?
That is an excellent question, and I have looked, because I do know, say, in Sturgis, which I am formerly from, there is an ordinance that prevents dumpster diving. No, there is not an ordinance that specifically prevents dumpster diving. However, I agree with the dissent from Justice Sabers in that opinion, which says that question, however important it may be, misses the point, that the analysis for the Fourth Amendment is not about whether private citizens can go through each other's garbage, but whether the government can intrude upon privacy and engage in warrantless search of citizens' papers and effects.
But certainly the city could, by making it unlawful, give an indication of how its citizens felt about the trash put out on the curb. But the city could very easily, like you've just said for Sturgis, could very easily say it's unlawful and no one shall search another person's trash or go through it without probable cause. The city has the power to do that.
The city does have the power to do
and
that.
That's certainly an indication of whether the city council speaks for the citizens of the city, so they certainly can give an indication of how the citizens feel through their ordinances.
That is correct. However, I don't believe it's necessary either, because law enforcement is held to a little greater standard under the Fourth Amendment than the private citizen. We have laws to go after those private citizens that go through our garbage and harass us and take our information. We have laws in this state for those people. Here, the Fourth Amendment is what applies to law enforcement, and we're not asking that they have to get a warrant to go through our garbage, but they at least be able to articulate some suspicion before they go through our garbage. That's all that we're asking here. I think Ms. Hansen's analysis that the very nature that this was garbage, I think completely also misses the point that our private effects go into our garbage. We seal it into bags, and we hope that nobody goes through it, because we know that a systematic viewing of our garbage is going to review many details of our life that we don't want revealed to the general public. As elected officials, I'm sure that you have things that go into your garbage that you can't shred, you can't destroy, that if other people view these items and it's revealed to the public what goes in it, that the misinterpretation of what's in your garbage can be very detrimental as to you as an elected official. As to me, a defense attorney, I don't want people to go through my garbage and make determinations as to whether or not I'm a good mother or whether or not I'm doing things properly.
2 minutes.
That's the first test, and I mean, I can agree with you. I wouldn't want someone going through my trash. The whole idea is offensive, but you know, then we have to go to the second test. If we're going to keep this expectation of privacy test instead of going into some other type of test, then we have to say, is this something that society expects as reasonable? That's the question we have to reach here, because I think we can all assume that each one of us might be offended personally. But does society expect to have, is this the kind of thing that society would say is reasonable?
And here I'm going to borrow from Justice Sabers again. And you very eloquently put into the Schwartz opinion, information that may be gleaned from a household's waste is so deeply personal that an average South Dakotan would be mortified to know that their local police or sheriff's department was examining its contents. I believe that goes to the very heart of the second part of the two-part analysis, is whether society is willing to honor this expectation as reasonable.
I don't think anyone, that Schwartz came down, 2 years ago? And I, with all due respect to Justice Sabers' dissent, no bill was put in the legislature. to change our laws. There was no constitutional amendment proposed to protect people's trash. Can we look at those things too and say, well, you know, if the public was so outraged by this, why didn't someone decide to change it?
Because the facts in Schwartz aren't such to make it appear that it was necessary at the time. You're talking about a situation in Schwartz where it was very apparent that law enforcement had reason to go through the Schwartz's trash. Here, any information they had was weak at best back in July of 2004, but they're saying that it continues on for 5.5 months and they can still go through Mr. Stevens' garbage whenever they feel necessary.
Your time has expired, Ms. Reed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Hansen, you have 10 minutes.
I'd like to respond to the defendant's argument that he relied on the city ordinances as giving him an expectation of privacy in his garbage. I don't think the defendant did use those ordinances because he thought he's getting an expectation of privacy. And in my reply brief, I put a case in there where a defendant tried to rely on a similar argument, and the court said there's no indication in the record that appellant relied upon the ordinance to increase his expectation of privacy or that he was even aware of the ordinance. The purpose of the ordinance was presumably sanitation and cleanliness, not privacy.
Does it go to the second part of the test, though, as Justice Kohlenkamp points out?
This would go to the first, but I think the...
Does the ordinance, however, go to the second part about what society would expect?
I think it would partly go towards the second one, in that society is not willing to accept an expectation of privacy as reasonable. I think because most people aren't relying on these ordinances as giving you an expectation of privacy. They are relying on these ordinances to get rid of their trash and to do it in a cleanly manner. I don't think that this ordinance is something that should be considered. It shows that in, like Justice Kohlenkamp said, that after State v. Schwartz, there was no legislation passed talking about garbage, talking about your privacy in garbage, or making anything illegal about going through people's garbage. And I think that's an indication that society still does not have an expectation of privacy in garbage, because the people haven't demanded some kind of protection from people going through the garbage. If they really were so concerned about people going through their garbage, they would go to their legislature and say, we need some laws passed about people going through our garbage. But there hasn't been any of that. There hasn't been any legislation passed saying you cannot go through people's garbage. And I think that just shows that society still does not expect to have privacy in their garbage. I mean, people go out and buy shredders and all that kind of stuff because they know people go through their garbage, and they know there's nothing to prevent that. So they do their best to protect information that way, but they still haven't gone that extra step to say we should do something as far as making it illegal to go through garbage.
Do you think a municipality has the legal authority to raise the bar from the state constitution to protect people's interests in their garbage?
I think they can pass an ordinance that says, yes, you can't go through other people's garbage.
Okay.
And I think in this case, I don't think that's necessarily a deciding factor that they didn't have one in this case, but I just think that goes to show that the city of Rapid City did not, it goes to the second part of that test, that the society is not willing to accept an expectation of privacy and garbage as reasonable. I also think that it's kind of a misstatement to say that Wayne or the defendant was not at all under any kind of suspicion in that timeline, because of the very nature of the case, it was a missing persons case, and because he had an altercation with that person 2 weeks prior, he was still a person of interest at that time, and probably until the case, you know, had been solved or the person had been found.
Why can't we do what the Montana Supreme Court did? You know, the Montana Supreme Court said there is no expectation of privacy, but we're still going to say police have to have reasonable suspicion, even though there's no expectation of privacy, because we just think this is just unacceptable. Why can't we do that?
I think reasonable suspicion comes into play when you've decided that the Fourth Amendment or your Constitution gives protection to you. But I think this Court has said before that you have to ascertain an expectation of privacy in something before the Fourth Amendment or our Constitution even become a consideration. So I don't think necessarily that, I think you have to find that expectation of privacy first, which I think this Court has already said that there is none. And I don't think there's anything that has changed since Greenwood or Schwartz that would say this Court should decide differently or decide to go on a different path than the United States Supreme Court when they've already decided to interpret our Constitution the same way the United States Supreme Court has.
So you're saying that actually on the two-part test, neither prong of that is met.
Correct.
Either the actual subjective expectation of privacy nor the society's willingness to recognize that.
Right, and I think both this Court and the United Supreme Court has found that there is no expectation of privacy in garbage that is on the curb left for a garbage man. And I think the cases have all shown that there is no reasonable there is no expectation of privacy that society finds reasonable because you are putting it on the curb to get rid of it because you are saying you don't want it anymore. In fact, in Greenwood, the United States Supreme Court says what a person knowingly exposes to the public, even in his own home or office, is not subject to the Fourth Amendment protection. And I think that's what you have here, someone that knowingly exposed his trash to the public in a place that was easily accessible to the public, but that was not illegal for the public to access. So we would ask that you reverse the trial court's decision to grant the motion to suppress. If there's no further questions, that's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Hanson. No one's ever chastised for quitting early.